reaching, and I'm thankful to the Lord for what He's doing. Turn with me to John chapter number 6 and verse number 25. John chapter number 6 and verse number 25. And while you are finding your place, the last time we were here, we ended in verse number 21, and those of you keeping record may think, well, he's skipping over some verses. Well, actually, I'm not. Just those verses 22 through 24 are a transitional period, and they describe the transition from Jesus feeding the 5,000, walking on the water with his disciples, to where he is. So I'm not neglecting preaching anything. It's just something that is very much self-explanatory. If you'll take the time to read the verses, you can see what they are. And I mean, in that multitude of people that were wondering where Jesus was, they wanted to know, when did he leave, where had he went, and where were his disciples? And of course, we know the answers by reading later on in the chapter. And that's what we're going to begin looking at this morning in verse number 25. Brother David's already said it, but I'd like to say it again. If you're visiting with us today, thank you so much for being here. We're honored to have you. Verse number 25. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. I need to say something here. When we read the Bible, we realize that Jesus was explicitly clear as to who and what he was. Amen. Verse number 34, Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would help this morning. Lord, you know that my mind is scattered at the moment. And Lord, just to be honest with you, I'm struggling, and I sure need your wisdom and your Holy Spirit and your guidance. And so in faith, Lord, I pray and I ask you to connect my mind. Lord, guide my words. Have me say, Lord, what you want me to say. Lord, I pray that as I preach this morning, that hearts would be open and that they would be receptive to your word. I pray, Lord, that you would give them wisdom and understanding and illumination in your scripture. I pray, Lord, that if there be someone here that does not know you and the free pardon of sin, Lord, that they would come to the saving knowledge of you today. Lord, if there's someone that watches online that maybe believes in themselves or believes in some other way, Lord, I pray that you, as you showed the Jews here that day, would show them, Lord, their need. And Lord, you would work a mighty work in their heart, and the Holy Spirit of God would go to wherever they are and would reach them, Lord, for you, and they would not put their faith and trust in anything other than in you. Have your will in your way. I love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for loving me. In your holy name I pray. Amen. In verses 25 through 40, we have Jesus' discussion with the Jews. The Bible says that they had come back. You know, there was a bad storm, we read about it, that impacted the disciples that were on the sea. And while that happened, Jesus walked on the water. Prior to that, Jesus fed the 5,000 earlier in this chapter, besides women and children. So there could have been 15, 20,000 people there that Jesus fed with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And that's important to keep those two events in our mind, and also to understand about that storm that had blown through. The people had went back. But when they came back to find the Lord again, or to get more out of the Lord, they realized that he was not where that they had last seen him. And so we pick up in verse number 25, and the Bible says that when they found him, and if I could add, when they finally found him, because they had been searching for him for quite some time, they knew that there was one ship there, and other ships had come from Tiberias, but the one that Jesus had been in, they didn't see anymore. And so they finally found him at Capernaum on the other side of the sea, so says the Word of God. And when they found him, they didn't say, "We found who our soul loves." They did not say, "You have the words of life, and therefore we're going to follow you." But what they did say is, "Rabbi, when camest thou hither? When did you come over here? Furthermore, who gave you permission? You're taking away everything that we want and that we need, or what we think we want and think we need." And so Jesus doesn't readily indulge them and get into a discussion with them and say, "Well, you know, I am God in the flesh. I am sovereign. I can do what I want." He instead looks at them and doesn't get in that discussion with them, but rather calls them out for their carnality. And the way that he does it is very distinct, because he's letting them know that you're not really looking for me because I did something that no one else could do, or that I've done something for your soul. You're looking for me because you want your belly filled again. And so verse number 26 says, Jesus answered them and says, "Verily, verily," that little word "verily" means of a truth or truthfully. "Verily, verily," truthfully, truthfully, "I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." These wonderful people that had gotten out there at that field that day and had been fed by the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, they didn't really care that thousands of people had been supplied for. They cared that their immediate need, now that that food had went away, that it needed to be met again. Let me put it to you like this. We've heard this saying, they couldn't see the trees for the woods. They couldn't see what the Lord was doing or what He had been doing, because their own wants and desires were more important to them than what God was doing in the country of Israel. What they needed in that moment, what they thought they needed in that moment, what they thought was best for their lives in that moment, getting their bellies filled, getting their next meal met, to have that little need met. I mean, they watched this man feed thousands of people, and yet their concern was that they woke up with nobody to cook them food and nobody to fill their belly that morning. Their concern was not that they had seen the Savior work a mighty miracle, because it did not fit the narrative that they had been taught all their life. They saw Jesus as a false teacher. They saw him as someone who was perhaps a good man and had the ability to do some good things, and they could get a little bit of benefit out of him, but they did not know that he could change their lives. And so Jesus goes on to tell them, as he points out their carnality with these people. They had their physical wants. They had their desires to work to earn salvation. We'll talk about that in just a moment. And they were seeking of a sign to prove who he was to them. So in verse number 27, all of that is about to happen, what I just named to you. But in verse number 27, the Bible says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." And so in their carnal seeking of filling their belly that morning, they did all, think about all the work that they'd done to find him. All the investigative work. They didn't have cell phones back then. There wasn't Facebook. Jesus wasn't getting on Instagram and hashtag in Capernaum today. Come see me. That didn't happen. Jesus wasn't Snapchatting with other people and telling everybody where he was. All those things were not happening. It was simply he went where God wanted him to go. And so the people had to investigate, because the disciples and Jesus had already gone on to the other side. And there had been a storm, so they really had no idea. But it was so important to them that this simple need that they wanted was met, that they did all that work to find where he was and to find what he was. And so they just kind of dug around seeking him. And we think, oh, that's honorable. Well, they weren't seeking him to get spiritual help. They were seeking him to get that little itch scratched. Here's how it sounds in modern churches. "I didn't get nothing out of service today. Let me go on home and let's have roast preacher for dinner. That's fine. I've been ate on for 20 years now. I'm okay. The Lord will supply every need. I didn't get nothing out of that message. He must not have been preaching to me. You know what? I don't even know that he studied this week, because if he had studied, I'd have got something out of that message. Meanwhile, you ain't cracked your Bible in 2 months, ain't prayed in 10 years, and wondering why you don't get nothing immediately when you come to service on Sunday morning. Here we are. John chapter number 6 is addressing the issue that our physical needs often take over our spiritual needs. We're physical beings. This is why we lust after and chase after physical things. And thus the eternal battle between flesh and spirit is that we want to have what our spirit needs. Paul put it like this, "Oh, wretched man that I am," in Romans chapter number 7. That is good that I would do, that I do not. And that which I would not do, that very thing, that's what I do. We're all like that. But let's not put on the appearance that we're seeking Jesus, when what we're really seeking is a quick fix. That's a dangerous place to be. And so here in,
in verse number 27, he tells them, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man. I like that Jesus used the term Son of Man here, because he could have called himself the Son of God. He did not, but he used the term Son of Man because they were familiar with that from the Old Testament, servants and prophets of the Lord. And so he calls himself the Son of Man, and he says, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath the Father sealed. He let them know that, hey, I'm the guy that you've been looking for. And you're missing me because you think you need food more than you need me. Verse 28. So we start out with, really there are three questions that are given here that are posed by the Jews. We've looked at the first one already. Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And then the next question is found in verse number 28. The Bible says, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? They had a craving, if you will, to contribute something to their salvation. They had a desire to say, well, and the question sounds very noble. Well, what should I do? What works can I do, Lord? Do y'all remember when the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said to him, what should I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, keep all the commandments. And he said, this have I done from my youth up. And Jesus said, okay, take everything you have, sell it, and come and follow me. And the Bible says that he went away sorrowful, for he had much goods. That physical need. That appeals to the flesh. I reckon there's not much more that appeals to the flesh than when we say, what can I do that makes me work for God? Boy, what a scary place to be. Jesus answers and says, simple faith. In verse number 29, this is the work of God. Here it is. I'm fixing to unlock to you the secret of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm fixing to give to you eternal wisdom that will carry you through to eternity. Jesus does not say anything about what this man can do or what the people can do. He doesn't tell them to obey the commandments. Watch what he says here in verse 29. It's in red letters. This is what Jesus said. This is the work of God. What, preacher? What's the work of God? That ye believe on him. Whom he has sent. Lord, didn't we cast out demons in thy name? That's a big thing right now. Didn't we prophesy in thy name? Didn't we do all of these works? Didn't we reveal to people Christ? Didn't we do our best? Didn't we do this? And here is the answer. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. See, man has an innate desire to contribute something to our own well-being. Self-preservation. And our spiritual well-being is no different. We think that we can contribute something to our spiritual well-being. And if I be good enough, I can go to heaven. How many of you heard that preached all your life? If I work hard enough, God will recognize my works. And God, when God recognizes my works, then I'll get to enter into heaven. That's hogwash. Man. And it is against the grace of God. Oh, preacher, you don't know. If I just do this, if I just do that, if I could preach like you, I know I'd go to heaven. There's a lot of talented people that'll spend eternity in hell.
Yes, sir. Amen.
There's a lot of talented people that use Christianity because the world won't accept them. We got it all over the place. What do you mean they use Christianity? Well, I can go record a Christian CD.
Come on.
Make me a little bit of fame. Y'all okay? Don't you drop on me. Make me a little bit of fame and then I can transition over and go to where the real money is. God help us. God, I ain't just talking about the contemporary music and the contemporary crowd. I ain't just talking about them. I'm talking about some of our favorite old Southern gospel folks. Amen. Some of our bluegrass folk. I love bluegrass music. That's grass in heaven. It's blue, praise God. That's a joke. I love it. I love the sound of it. We look for things that appease the flesh in the things that should be pleasing to God. And the problem is that we make ourselves a God. And so whatever fits what I want is what brings God glory. Wrong. Can I say that again? Whatever fits what I like the best, surely that will bring God glory. When in actuality, it brings Him none. What will bring God glory? Simple faith. This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him who He hath sent. I remember one time preaching somewhere along this and someone said, well, the Bible says that the devils do believe and tremble. You better believe that they believe that that is the Son of God. That doesn't mean that they believe Him as Savior and Lord. Amen. Let's not twist Scripture to fit what we want it to be. They believe because they know. That's why that legion cried out and said, what have I to do with thee, thou Son of the Most High God? They knew and understood and were subject to Him. But they did not seek Him as Lord and Savior, nor will they ever. So don't use that one. What shall we do that we might work the works of God, the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent? Simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Oh my, this precious gift of God was given to us. It is the unspeakable gift that He has given to us, that you and I can have salvation through and by the Lord Jesus Christ, plus nothing, minus nothing. And so He gives them their carnal view. He points to them and tells them that simple faith will do. And in their arrogancy, I want you to watch what they said to Him. In verse number 30. What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Jesus has the day before fed thousands and walked on the water. And had they went to the disciples and said to the disciples, and they probably did after Jesus didn't give them the answer they want, what did your master do? I would imagine that the disciples would say, hey, last night in the middle of that storm that y'all was on land, we was on the sea, all I know is Jesus came walking in the midst of the storm right to where I was. I don't read of anybody else doing that. And so, what sign showest thou then? Didn't y'all just see Him feed 5,000? Think of the organization and the preparation that it takes to feed 100 or 150 people at Gateway, and the coordinated effort that it takes. And yet Jesus fed these thousands of people. And then these Jews who were supposed to be religious, these Jews who were supposed to understand and know that this was Messiah, the ones who were His own that He came to and His own received Him not, instead of saying, "I believe that You're Messiah, I believe that You're God in the flesh," what they said is, "What sign are You going to show me, Jesus?" We like to act like we don't do that. But then we say goofy things like, "Lord, if You want me to tell this person about Jesus, send a freight train through a field and I'll do it." Let me just go ahead and clear it up for you. God wants you to tell people about Jesus. We say things like that. Lord, if you want me to give this homeless person a couple dollars, get them some food, or if You want me to buy them a meal, whatever You want me to do, Lord, if You will just let them speak words that are life to me, then I'll give them what they need. Shh, I'm waiting on a sign from the Lord. I like this old saying, says, if I and a need should meet, I believe God has me there to meet that need. See, we like to put religious works on display.
Come on, brother.
And then pretend that we're being spiritual about these works when we ask God. And I've said it, perhaps you said it too. I believe I'm going to lay out my fleece. You better be careful.
Come on.
Because He's liable to make your fleece soaking wet and leave the ground dry. He's liable to dry out your fleece and cause it to rain everywhere but on that little fleece. He just might do what He said He's going to do. Wait a minute, preacher, I mean that. Lord, maybe You're calling me to be a missionary. Lord, if You want me to go be a missionary, then you're gonna have to wet my fleece for me. If He's calling you, I hope you wake up in soaking wet clothes. Amen. I don't know what the Lord wants me to do. Lord, I don't know where You want me to go. Well, the will of God has been explicitly given to us in the Word of God. And you can start by telling people about Jesus. Because when you're faithful over a few things, He'll make you ruler over many. See, we like to attribute our own self-glory. Lord, I remember this when I was a younger preacher. I remember praying, Lord, if You'll just let me go preach to them people, there'd be a meeting going on. It'd be 200-300 people. Lord, if You'll just let me preach up there, I'm talking about revival is going to break out. In my arrogancy, I've said things like that in my heart. Lord, if you just let me have an opportunity, like that pastor that You've worked on for 20 years, if You'll just let me lead them people. And here's what I found out, man. I got up here, and it ain't all it's cracked up to be.
Come on, brother. Come on.
Lord, if You'll just let me do this, if You'll just let me do that. And I remember the ambition that I had as a younger preacher and whatnot. I remember one time we were in Panama City. We had went down there for a couple of days. And Luke was 2 years old, somewhere around in there. And this family that I knew that had, or our family, I really didn't know them all that well. They had asked me to preach a funeral of a loved one. And I remember being so wrapped up in ministry, thinking this is going to change some lives if I go preach a funeral. By the way, they never contacted me till the guy got on his deathbed. They didn't want me in their home, and they asked me how long I was going to be there when I went to visit the sick guy.
Yep.
Happens a lot.
Yes, it does.
And so I'm down there with my family, and we're having a little bit of a time off, and my little boy gets sick. And we go in the hospital, and we're in the hospital. He's got RSV. Some of you guys know what it does to a child. He had RSV, and we're down there in the hospital. And I told Tara, I said, we got to get out of here. I got to preach that funeral at 2:00 tomorrow. If you've ever wondered whether or not there is wisdom in my family, it's not found here. It's found here. This is what she said. She said, we're going to stay. You go if you need to. So I got to get the doctor on my side. Got to get this doctor on my side. And so I went to the doctor and I said, hey, what do you think? We could drive home. And he's just got a little sniffle, you know. And he said, Mr. Agin, if you leave here, driving up 431, there's no hospitals, there's no help. Your child could die on the road. This is what I said. Now, this is what I said. I'm going to call Brother Johnny, my friend, Brother Johnny White. I'm going to call him and ask him, because he's going to tell me, yeah, you need to come on up here and preach this funeral. That family needs you. Y'all seeing where my priorities were out of whack yet? So I called Brother Johnny. I said, Brother Johnny, what do you think I should do? He said, oh, son, call that family and tell them you're not coming. Your little boy's sick, and the funeral homes have preachers on staff. I love you, son. Bye. He didn't even give me a chance to talk back. I sure am glad that I didn't allow that day, that one time, that I didn't allow my pride cost me my child's life to go preach over a dead body.
Come on, brother.
Sometimes we get our spiritual direction out of whack and we think that we're doing something that's fantastic and something that's good. And when in actuality, what we're really doing is tempting God. What sign showest thou then? What are you going to do for me? How's it going to exalt me? And they went on to tell him. I like how they just fed thousands, walked on water the night before. This is what they say to him. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. I can almost hear them say, you know when somebody's really telling you off, they do that snooty voice, you know? Our fathers, they did eat manna in the wilderness. 40 years, Jesus. He supplied their needs. That he that they were talking about was not God. They were referencing Moses. And so Jesus sets the record straight. Then Jesus said unto them, verse number 32, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. It was God who fed those Hebrews in the wilderness for 40 years. It was God who kept their shoes from rotting. It was God who kept clothes on their back. It was God who made sure that their needs were met. See, even that day they wanted to attribute the spiritual things that had happened in Israel to what a preacher had done. If there's anything good happening at Gateway, it is not because you have a good pastor. It's not because we have a great choir leader. It's not because we have excellent Sunday school teachers. It is because God is blessing. Take the focus off of us and put it on Him. Our girls years ago would sing a song. It's about the cross. It's about His blood. It's not about us. It's not about what we can do. It's not about the ability that we have. At the end of that song, they would turn and face this cross and they'd lift up their little hands. And I thought, man, what a showing of how we give glory to the cross. It is not about us. It's not about what we do. It's not about who we are. It's not about our talents that brings things to the church. It is God blessing and God working, and God is worthy of all the glory and praise.
Amen.
And he goes on to tell them, for the bread that God, for the bread of God is He, Jesus, which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Now watch their statement. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. from tempting God to begging him for the physical bread. Jesus answered him in verse number 35, I am the bread of life. And he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He's referencing back to the woman at the well where he met her. Y'all remember that? He said, I give you a well of water springing up inside of you that you'll never thirst again. That very likely, or was very much likely, the people, the same group of people that had heard him preach before that walked away and did not believe him. And he said to them, I am the bread of life. Not only am I a spiritual guide, not only was I the physical guide, but I am a spiritual life to you. If you'll come to me, you'll never be spiritually hungry again. If you'll take of this water that I give to you, you'll never thirst again. Watch this. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. They couldn't see him. The Savior of the world was having discourse with these people, and they wouldn't see him, because they wanted it to be about them and not about him. All that the Father giveth me, verse 37, shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Once you come, I'm not going to get rid of you. Once he's got you, he's got you. You ain't even got to keep you. He keeps you. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And the will, the full will of God, had not yet been accomplished here in John chapter number 6. It will later be accomplished here in just a few chapters. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he had given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And then he goes ahead and expounds on that in verse number 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. I don't read anywhere in there where he says if they'll do enough, give enough, be enough, act enough, play enough, preach enough, have enough tent meetings, have enough revival services. I don't even really see where it says if I read my Bible enough. But I'll tell you this, once you get born again, you'll want to read your Bible. Amen. You'll want to get closer and know more about him. You'll want to pray. He says, the will of him that sent me, the will of God, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. The Lord wants to save you. The Lord wants to change your life. Don't miss him for everything that you've got going right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you as humbly as I know how, asking you, Lord, to save someone, asking you, Lord, to touch the hearts of those that are lost and undone without you, asking you, Lord, to touch the hearts of the people who are leaning more on their own understanding and not on you. Lord, help us to see that it's about Jesus and what you did in your finished work on the cross of Calvary. Help us, Lord, to have faith in you. Save someone. In Jesus' name I pray. Would you stand with us this morning while we sing?